Tony Simpson, Ryan Champion and Jack Bennion.
Hello everyone, welcome to Absolute Rally, Season 12, Episode 10. Well done, you got to the end. Normally I'd say on my left, I'd say hello Ryan Champion, on my right Jack Bennion or Trevor Agnew or whoever it may be. They're not here this week, they've all got sick notes. Don't know where they are. Jack Bennion's travelling somewhere, watching roundy-roundy. Ryan's probably being the man from Del Monte, pretending to be James Bond, driving some fancy car somewhere. Trev, God knows where he is. So it's just me and Bex Williams. Hello, Bex.
Well, to be honest, I'm massively disappointed, Tony, that they've all just called in sick. Rubbish excuses, quite frankly.
It might be something to do with the weather. Might be something to do with weather.
I think
forgive my
be.
Cynicism on all this, but it could be something to do with weather.
It's 30 degrees outside, blue skies, you know, they've probably got a beer in hand somewhere on a sun lounger. Ryan Champion trying to make that milky white skin a nice colour, although after being in Barbados for nearly a month, I'm sure he's pretty tanned right now. I think of the last time I saw him, he had his rallying overalls on and a beer in hand.
Yeah.
After Ryan finishing the rally, obviously.
Obviously, yeah. Ryan Champion's the only person who flies back from Barbados for 48 hours and then flies back to Barbados. That's how good Ryan Champion is.
That was just an incredible feat of logistics. You need to get on to him with that logistics, man, Tony. Sort him out.
I know. But there you go. I did make me laugh when he went back. I don't know if you've seen the hire car he tweeted. He managed to get a high-end eye which had full work livery on it.
Yes, I did see that.
That was brilliant. I love all that. So there you go. Bex, it is just you and me this week. And let's be honest with you, it's far better than having all those boys anyway. But I thought it'd be not apart from the fact we've not spoke for ages, not actually on for ages. Where have you been? What have you been doing?
I don't know. I've just done it. I've been everywhere. I've been to Barbados.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've seen messages on social media saying, are you actually still there? How long does this rally go on for? Has it not ended yet?
The rally's just one stage. The rest of it's just run.
It's a brilliant event. But it's been a busy season so far, and it's been a kind of refreshingly new season for us in WRC anyway, with getting to grips with All Live, getting to grips with not having WRC Live Radio, which was, as you know, Tony, my baby for 17 years. They're right to the start, they're right to the end, and that finished after Corsica this year. So kind of saying goodbye to that was a huge thing this year, and the build-up to knowing that, you know, we wouldn't be doing the radio anymore and that we would be fully integrated into the All Live project instead was, you know, it was very strange. I couldn't quite get my head around it. We knew as early as Rally Sweden that the radio project would come to a close, and we only had a few rallies left. And then you've got all these things going through your head, all the kind of features you've always wanted to do. Although, to be honest, we did quite a few over the 17 years. I'm not sure we could have come up with anything new at this point. But, you know, the build-up to the last final show was massive. And then doing the final show and the final day was emotionally draining, I have to say. But hopefully we did it justice.
I was listening. It was one of those things where, because it's been part of my life for such a long time, albeit as a listener, you know, you just kind of, you had to go into the last one just for old time. So it's like saying goodbye to an old friend, wasn't it? But the good thing is, obviously, is that we all the voices are still there, and that's one massive plus, of course, of what we've got now with WRC Live. We haven't lost any of you.
Yeah, and I really important, obviously, to all of us, because we wanted to continue on doing what we were doing. And, you know, originally the premise was we would start the season as part of WRC All Live, and the radio would just kind of fit into that as well, and it would all work together. And then, unfortunately, it wasn't going to happen. And that, you know, without going into too much detail, was all down to budget. But for me, the key thing and the good thing is that there is a free stream that remains, and that was so important to me that, you know, for people who, for whatever reason, couldn't afford to pay for All Live or didn't have the capabilities to be able to stream pictures in that way, that they could have a stream there and you can still listen to what is essentially the commentary of it all. But it was really difficult to say goodbye. And we kind of kept it light all day on the final day, and we were going back throughout the weekend on memories and, you know, great things we've done over the years, favorite features, favorite stupid things that have happened, and over 17 years there have been many. But you know, we were doing the closing kind of thank yous, and I was thanking Colin, thanking Lisa, thanking the listeners, and doing my final farewell. And it got to the last kind of 10 seconds and that was it. I could feel myself going and my voice broke, and I could barely get the words out at the end, but I was quite pleased that I held it right to the end. And Lisa and I all day had kind of been like, nope, we're not going to cry. Come on. It's happy. We're celebrating what's been 17 brilliant years. And we kind of did it like that. And I think you have to, with something that's so close to your heart that you've worked on for such a long time and, you know, struggle to keep it going every year. It wasn't an easy thing to maintain. And, you know, many people out there won't realize that is that you had to find the money for it every single year. It's not a job I turned up to do and then went home. That was constant maintenance of getting budget in, making sure that we could employ everyone and we could do our job. And, you know, you put your heart and soul into it in that way. And also following, you know, the brilliant sport and bringing as much of the sport as you can to the listeners. You're doing it from your heart because it's such long days of full on grind. And there's only three of you on event to be able to achieve that. And poor Lisa back in the studio, who's doing it all on her own effectively. So you don't do it unless you absolutely love it. And we did. And I hope, you know, people are going to remember it as something they can, you know, look back on and think, oh yeah, it was great. And it changed the sport in a way because it was the first time you could completely follow the championship, a whole championship, live via radio within the WRC. It had been done on just separate events before, but no one had ever done it across the whole season.
I think what for me, and, you know, I tip my hat to the guys, you know, the likes of Colin and you know, Julian, who did Stage End and people like that. The Stage End element was always good because, you know, putting both hats on, I've done Stage Ends on BRC events back in the day, doing reporting and stuff like that. And of course, I've been the driver as well. And you forget, when the mic's getting put in front of you sometimes that, you know, you're possibly not being the most positive and sometimes you're being quite negative. And I can remember doing GB and Craig Breen was doing Stage End. And I remember getting the end of the stage, which was surreal because Craig, I know quite well. Craig obviously, you know, made his name driving Fiesta STs, originally in this country and of course in the UK. He dominated the Fiesta Championships, you know, both of them over an island in the UK, of course, the little car I was driving. And I had a horrendous stage and I can't quite remember what I said, but I'll paraphrase it ever so slightly. I'll make it slightly politer, but along the lines of, you really should be driving this car because I can't drive this car. It's stupid. I'm probably better doing what you're doing and you're probably better doing what I'm doing. We should be swapping here. You take the car and I'll take the microphone. And because you did, you know, the guests, that was the other thing, you know, having guests kind of Stage Ends and stuff like that. And I think there's something quite special in Stage Ends, I have to say.
Right. And Colin always kind of says this. He always talks about it being, and it is, you know, that's where the emotion is because you've just done a stage, you take your helmet off and all this rawness just pours out of you, whether it's been a good or a bad stage. And, you know, it's electric when a car comes in and they've got an incredible time or something major has happened. It can be it's a pivotal time, I think. And to have all of that and to hear all of that live, I think it's very special for the listener to be able to hear all of that. And of course, now with all live, to be able to see it all as well. But when you're the interviewer, as Craig was for us then, as Colin has been since 2005, you're part of that emotion as well. And I've done Stage Ends myself, but it's always been short super specials because my job's obviously been based mainly studio based constantly. But when there's been a super special in Barcelona and I've been hosting the FIA press conference, which has been up in Barcelona, then okay, natural thing for me to do is the stage end there. So I've done bits and pieces like that, but it's not the same feeling at the end of a super special as it is,
a proper
gravel or tarmac stage where you've really battled it through. I have to say, though, talking about Craig, we had some brilliant stage end reporters over the years. Obviously, our main guys and our lead reporter was Colin Clark. But the guest reporters we've had in, I've enjoyed immensely. Craig was one of my favourites because he so wanted to do it. He so wanted to be a stage end reporter. And he'd listened to the radio for years with his parents as well. And they were listening all the time when Craig was competing. I have an image of him, Wales Rally GB. You know, we just gave him the road books, give him the equipment, talked him through how to use it. Off you go into the forests. And he sent me a little picture. He had his flask of tea, tea bags. Sorry, he had no flask of hot water, tea bags, biscuits, all on the dash of the car. Sent me a little picture. So I'm in position, ready. Just going to make myself a cup of tea. It's like, my God, this is Craig Breen. You know, World Rally Championship driver Craig Breen at stage ends for us, making himself a cup of tea. And, you know, it was so bizarre. And he was so great at stage ends. But we had Molly Taylor, who did a couple of events for us. She was also fantastic. Well, we've had people who stepped in at the last minute. Yari Ketema, I remember, in Spain a few years ago. I can't quite remember what happened, but whoever was supposed to be our second stage end reporter couldn't make the rally. I can't remember the circumstance now, but we were basically let down at the last minute, and we really needed someone to do Rally Spain, but we were already there when we were let down. So it was who is on the ground that can help us. And Yari Ketema was working for DMAC at the time. And he put his hand up and said, well, I'll do a day for you if you want. And you know, if you've ever spoken to Yari Ketema, he can sound quite flat, a little bit dour, and he's quite serious. And I thought, okay, we'll give this a go, and I can make him, you know, be animated at the stages. I can bring that out of him, no problem. He was absolutely fantastic. Detailed analysis of everything that had gone on through the stage, you know, just by looking at the times, he'd go around, tell us how the tires were looking. He from years of listening as well, he knew exactly what the listener wanted to hear, and he brought it through in his own inimitable style. It was just brilliant. We've had loads of guest reporters over the years, people who have literally, some of them, it's been planned, some of them who have stepped in at the last minute to help us out. You know, Trev Agnew, who's obviously with you guys quite a lot on Absolute Rally, has been with us for many, many events, and he brings a completely different aspect to it all. And I think that's what I've loved. You know, we've got Colin, who's so effervescent, and he's so excitable, and it's always drama with Colin. Even if there's no drama, he always makes a drama out of something, which is brilliant, especially if you're listening at home. It's, you know, he's keeping you on your toes, he's keeping you awake. You know, sometimes I had to rein him in when he was going wandering on about something crazy. But normally it was always really up and bubbly, and then you'd have a contrast with someone else, someone who would be completely different to him. And I always loved that, you know, that you could have contrasting personalities and people that brought different elements. So you had a driver's perspective or a co-driver's perspective or a coach's perspective or whatever. It was always someone else's opinions. And I think the listener really enjoyed that, you know, because it's hearing from, you know, a different opinion, another take on something. And yeah, it was always a surprise for the drivers when they turned up. Sometimes they didn't know who would be interviewing them at stage ends. But yeah, I think they got a shock when Craig Breen was there, first of all.
Well, I know I did. I'll tell you, just a couple of quick ones, memories from me from up there. Colin, when you're listening back, and funny enough, I've just listened to a really, really good, I listened to other podcasts as well, not to do it. I've just listened to a podcast with Brian Blessed, and while I was listening to Brian Blessed, this sounds bizarre, I instantly thought of Colin doing stage end. It just had that kind of thing, the way he could have been an actor, I think is probably where I'm going with this. You know, the way he can project his voice and stuff like that, it just reminded me of, it's like having Brian Blessed at stage end. That's kind of what where I was going with that. But yeah. I was guilty of it as well, is when you get, I can remember getting quite excited getting asked get an interview at the stage when I was doing WRC events. And that was kind of like, yeah, I've arrived now. This is it. This is proper rallying. Somebody's asking me a question at stage end. But I always felt a little bit sorry for the co-drivers. And here's why. It's not very often they were spoken to. In fact, probably quite a low percentage. But invariably, to do the stage end interview, the helmet gets taken off, and the first thing it does is you get banged against the knee of the co-driver when the poor co-driver is still trying to sort out his time card with the marshal and everything else. Not only is he trying to sort out his time cards and settling himself down and everything else, because he's also just got to the end of stage, of course he has, but he's also now got a bruise on his knee every time. You just see the driver's helmet getting launched across the car. And depending on how the stage went, is normally the amount of force when that helmet's getting kind of flung across at them. And that always came from the back of doing stage ends.
There's so many funny moments that you could think of. And we're talking about stage end reporters, and Emma Penlan, who was our solid stage end reporter for the past 2-3 years, who, you know, I absolutely love Emer's style. You know, he's full on. He's kind of like Colin in the way he kind of projects himself. He gives you so much information. He's got so much love for rallying. And you know, his program in Wales, Rallyo television program in Wales, has been going for the same length in time as WRC Live has been. So 17 years that has been broadcast. And, you know, they've covered World Rally Championships, British Rally Championship, Welsh Rally Championship. Any motorsport in Wales is covered on Rallyo, which is brilliant. And obviously he's grown up with Elfyn Evans being, you know, the big Welsh driver, effectively. There was so much, I think, on Elvin's shoulders growing up because he was son of Gwyndaf Evans, that he was projected for great things. And, you know, Emma has followed his career so closely in terms of, you know, being a journalist and a friend as well. And there was one occasion, and I, you know, have to forgive me because I can't remember which rally it was exactly. It was either Argentina or Mexico. And Yari Matti Latvala was approaching stage end, and Emer was there, and he was talking to us about the weather and this and that. And running behind Yari Matti on the road was Elfyn Evans. So Yari Matti coming in first, and all of a sudden, Emer starting to get excited. I've got Bex! Bex dust! What's the dust? Oh, he's on three wheels! Yari Matti Latvala, three wheels! And then he paused, and it was like, he's thinking here, what? Emer, what? Elvin's behind him, he'll be caught in the dust. He'll be caught in Yari Matti's dust. And all of a sudden it was like, I'm trying to be completely impartial, but it's gone out of the window. Yeah. Forget Yari Matti Latvala on three wheels. All I'm caring about is Elvin stuck in the dust behind. And I have it on good authority that that went down pretty well in the M Sport camp at the time.
Yeah.
Malcolm found that very, very amusing, that, you know, he couldn't hold back at that point with regard to his love for Elfyn Evans. But, yeah, it's one of my funny moments, definitely, from the years. It's like, you can definitely tell you're Welsh here, Ems.
You're listening to the Absolute Rally Podcast, bringing you the biggest guests, the latest news, and in-depth analysis of all the goings-on from across the world of rally. Help us make more episodes. Become a patron at patreon.com/absoluterally.
We've got WRC Live now, which we've all lost days of our life to already. It has
all
to be said.
Live, yes. Do you know what? That is the main thing, you know. It's broad, wall-to-wall coverage of every single stage of the rally. And what we're finding is people now, whereas, you know, they'd message in or social media message in to us on the radio talking about various aspects. We don't get so much of that anymore now. We don't get so much of that picking up on what we're saying because they're watching. They can see everything now. What we are getting is messaging about, I haven't moved from my sofa in 6 hours. Can someone get me a cup of tea?
Yeah.
Because you can get completely hooked into it. You watch one stage and then, oh, hold on. Yeah, we've just run into another stage as well. I'll watch that one. Oh, 20 minutes to the next stage. I'll make a cup of tea. I'll come back. I'll watch that one. Then I'll go out and do whatever I've got to do. And, you know, we are finding that, you know, people are losing themselves, losing hours of their day to watching. But also, for me, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there who on a Friday, for instance, they're at work, they can't watch. Or maybe they can watch sneakily on a browser with your headphones in. I don't know. Maybe there are some sneaky people out there like that. But the good thing is you have the timeline. You can just go back and watch whatever you want to watch. And if there's been a stage with no drama on it, okay, maybe you skip that one. You go to a stage where something has happened, great. Or someone set an amazing time and you actually want to see that, then you watch that. And I think having the timeline there and the ability to go in and out and just watch whatever you want to when you want to is another really brilliant aspect. And that's, it's tapping into to the different way now that society watches sport or watches any kind of television. You know, gone are the days where, you know, you will absolutely be at your television for 7 o'clock of a certain evening because something is on, because we all have the ability to be able to A, record it or watch it on demand or whenever. And I'm really glad that that's come into all live as well, because people have busy lives.
Yeah.
They can't physically be watching it all day, but they do have the ability to go back and watch it whenever. And it's always up on the website until the Monday of the next event. And then it gets refreshed, ready for the next one.
I've been guilty of being out with my better half in a restaurant with all live on my phone.
well done.
Yeah.
I would be as well. If I wasn't commentating on it, I'd be doing it as well.
Yeah. So I'm guilty of it. But that's not the only thing, of course, that's new in WRC this year. We've got new drivers. And we've also got an old driver that's come back. What I wanted to do, Bex, because we're in your break at the moment. I'm calling it the mid-season review almost, and I thought it would be quite good to talk to somebody like yourself rather than us empty heads that normally just debate things on Absolute Rally. I wanted to kind of just look at where we're at with drivers and where we're at, and maybe almost in a school report fashion. we kind of look at the drivers and we'll look at the teams and see, I guess, where we're at now. A person you and I have both spoke about for forever and a day, and you know him probably better than me, but he's been on the program many times. Of course, we've lost Chris recently, Chris Meek, of course, who's now gone from the championship, at least for the remainder of this year. How much you were in the service park, obviously, after that last accident, which, you know, it was a horrible accident. You know, the aftermath of it and everything else in the look of that car looked horrendous. Was there anything while you were in the service park which made you think this could be it for Chris?
No. There have been times before, and I think, you know, a lot of the British journalists would put their hands up and say this, that, you know, when there has been maybe a big accident, you know, you think, first of all, you're glad they're all right. And when, you know, we all saw those horrific pictures of the car, even more so then, and you question, okay, what's going to happen? But not what's going to happen now, what's going to happen at the end of the season?
Yeah.
Is he going to be kept on? And there was nothing in the immediate aftermath within the service park that was shouting, you know, we're not going to see him on the rest of the events. Definitely, you know, after such a big accident and, you know, an underwhelming season, you had questions as to what would happen next year. What would Citroën do next year? Would he stay with Citroën? Would they offer him another contract? Was he looking elsewhere? You know, there were all these question marks. They were already there before the accident. But I was as shocked as everyone else. And it was immediately within the week after I'd already left, because I went pretty much straight from Portugal to Barbados. And I remember, I'm not meaning to sound like an absolute diva or anything here, but I was on my sun lounger. I just had a beer and I was checking my emails. And, you know, this statement comes in. And honest to God, my first thought was when I saw a statement from Citroën, because that's all it read, was they're pulling out the championship. That is the first thing that went through my mind.
Yeah.
And I was even more shocked then to read that, you know, with immediate effect. You know, I had to reread it a couple of times. First of all, it was like, he's gone now, so he's not going to be in Italy and reread it again. Now that is what it says. Immediate effect. He's gone. And I couldn't get my head around it. First of all, there's part of you that thinks, okay, they've had a tough decision to make here, and this decision has come. You can imagine. We don't know exactly the details, but you can imagine it's come from the top, from the board. But it felt like such a knee-jerk reaction to what had happened. If somebody had asked me, would he still be with Citroën, going into next year, I probably would have said no, unless, that everything, it had changed and the events had got better and better results had come. But yeah. I was surprised. I was shocked. And the big question is now, what happens next? Where does Chris Meek go now? Is there an option for him moving forward in 2019 with WRC? Or do we see him do something completely different? Does he take this option now to walk away from the championship, to go and do something else within the motorsport field? Who knows? In the sense, it's all been taken away from him, hasn't it? But then, in another sense, the world's his oyster. He can go and do something else if he wanted to.
Yeah, when we were the season that's gone on and what's gone off, and this is pre what happened, I kind of seen possibly something like World Rally Cross for Chris, and I thought that would be with Peugeot. I really thought it would be still within the PSA group. Maybe that's still an opportunity. Maybe there's still an opportunity. I don't quite know how it's been left, because it was very open ended. How he will not be appearing for the rest of the season. I think I'm paraphrasing it slightly.
Yeah, it was a difficult statement. Yeah. When you read it, it wasn't the kind of the PR press release we're very much used to when something like this happens. It was different to that, and I think a lot of people will read a lot of different things into that. With regard to what he does next, there is no question that Chris Meek is an incredibly uber talented driver. He, I think, creates a buzz and an excitement when he's competing, because he's one of those drivers that you don't quite know what's going to happen next. It can either be complete magic, which he's created time and time again when we've seen him win, or not only when he's won, but when he's been fighting, and it's that spirit, that never give up, there's something else with Chris. There's only a few drivers that have it. I know that there's always comparisons with McRae because he was his mentor, but in the current crop of World Rally drivers, there's for me a similarity with Yari Matti. And Yari Matti also crashes, but when he has the bit between his teeth and when things are going perfectly for him, when he has a brilliant rhythm out on the stages, he is a fearsome competitor. And you're watching something special when he gives it absolutely everything. And when everything is going right for Yari Matti, no one can beat him. He's the fastest man to effectively never be a world champion. Will he ever be? That's going to be a tough call now, I think. But there are similarities there with the way Chris and Yari Matti are. When they're absolutely at their very best, no one can touch them. And that's a special quality, which we lose from the championship now. But where he could either bring back to the championship with another team, we're going to see a silly season like no other come the end of the year, because we have 6-7 drivers out of contract, or he can take it somewhere else. I mean, Meek has always been a free spirit. No one's ever tamed him, have they?
No.
He's become part of the world championship. He's become part of a manufacturer team. But I don't think anyone can tame Chris. And good. I'm glad in that sense, because we get to see this drama, disappointing with what's happened now. But can he take that somewhere else? Will he disappear off and do Dakar on a bike, maybe? He could do something like that. He's that kind of person, I think, that could do something like that. And one thing's for sure, motorsport is not going to disappear from his life. And, it's all quiet on the Western Front right now. We don't know what's going on with Chris, but I'm excited to know what happens next for him.
Me too. Looking at Citroën, as I say, if we were going to do a half-term report, as it were, where would you grade them?
Do you know what? I'm not going to grade anyone today because it's unfair. Yeah. I don't like the grading school system. We left that a long time ago.
Yeah, okay, I'll have that.
Some of us longer than others.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've had another tough season. And, you know, it's been, we saw Craig, didn't we, on the podium, second position in Sweden this year. That was a brilliant result. And the confidence he took from that. I was in the car with him and Scott when we drove from the service area down to the FIA press conference in Rally HQ. It was about a half an hour drive. And they were both absolutely buzzing. They were so happy and so confident. And you felt that momentum could just take them on, you know, for the rest of the season. But it just hasn't. And he had a run of three, a couple of events that were not great for him. And he struggled with the confidence. He struggled when they adapted and changed the chassis. And he wasn't quite getting the feeling out of the car that Chris was getting with it. I think we went into Argentina with this. He wasn't quite as confident with the car as Chris was. And Chris had a good feeling with the car, but Craig wasn't quite there with it. And he just hasn't been. And it's been, from, you know, to know him and it well, and then to see him not reach the potential that he absolutely has. It's there. There's no question of that. And I think it's been a bit of a tough season for him in that sense, because he knows it himself and he's frustrated. It can turn around though. We go to an event he loves next, Finland, and, you know, who can forget what happened in 2016 there for him? And I'm hoping that things will change around for Craig. And we'll see what Mr. Rosberg does for the rest of the season now that he's been confirmed for, is it Finland, Germany, Turkey, Wales? He's not in Spain, but he will be in Australia. So the majority of the second half of the season, we see Rosberg compete. And, you know, that's a difficult ask as well in terms of results, because he hasn't been in the car for that long, but yet he's going to have to step up to the plate and deliver. But I'd be keen to know now from Citroën what the plan is for next year, because the rest of the year is going to be a case of salvaging what they can, trying to get good points on the board for themselves, trying to show that they can win. Can Craig Breen go out there and win this year? What would you say to that?
I feel for Craig, and I'm not just saying this because, again, I kind of know Craig. I don't know him obviously as well as your good self, but I know Craig. I know to talk to and everything else. And I completely agree with you. After Sweden, he was high as a kite. And then and we know why it happened. Obviously, then he's taken out of the car for Loeb. Get it. I get it. I don't think it was right, but I get it.
Yeah, I think that was a bit, you know, you touch on a good point, though. You know, that was a big thing, because momentum is everything,
massively,
isn't it? You know,
massively.
And he's come off the back of that. And then we go to Mexico and, you know, he's not there. We go to Corsica. He's not there. And Corsica was the real one for him as well, because it's his favourite event on the championship calendar. He came, he did the recce, and he went straight home. I said, are you going to be watching this weekend? Nope. He said, I'm not watching. I'm going out. I'm going to do some karting. I'm staying as far away from it all as I can. I can't bear to watch because it's my favourite event. And that one hurt. And it was two back-to-back events.
Yeah.
And
that's a big gap. It's a big gap for somebody to be out of a World Rally Car. At that level. At that level, that is a huge gap. And you can, you know, it's very, very easy to say, well, you can see where it tailed off. Well, quite clearly it is where it tailed off. Now, you know, you've got a little bit more insight. You've just shared something there with regards to, you know, the car being adapted and perhaps, you know, becoming more in tune with Chris as opposed to Craig. I've not really seen or heard anything like that. But I just feel that Craig was almost put back to ground zero again. You know, he got somewhere with the car. He got on a podium. He had momentum and everything else. He missed two events, and then all of a sudden the car's being changed, or it's something's happened, and then he's back in the car. It's like starting again.
Yeah, in a way. But I think, you know, we have to look, you know, to see what he can do with regard to the rest of the season. Certainly, you know, it was a bit of a shake-up going to well, after Portugal going to Italy, and there was no Chris, and, you know, Mads was there, and it was all very, I think it's fair to say, and I'm not being unkind or unfair to anyone here, it was a strange atmosphere around the Citroën camp to start with at the start of the weekend, because there was no Chris Meek. And, you know, the full explanation came out again as to why they let him go. And I'm sure Pierre Boudard was, you know, inundated with questions throughout the weekend from many, many journalists. We had him on All Live. He was our first guest on All Live on the Thursday night to explain it. And there was a strange atmosphere at first around the service area. And then, you know, as competition started, you just crack on. You know, it all, you know, you can't stop anything moving. Life moves on. And there we are with the drivers, and they just got on with the weekend. But, you know, it's bound to be an unsettling environment at first. And then we know what's happening now for the rest of the season. Osberg will be there, and it'll be between the two of them to try and rack up as many points as they can. And they can be a strong point-scoring duo out there. But, they, you know, the problem for them both is they're faced with the might of our championship contenders, who are going to be pushing as hard as possible for wins across the second half of the season. And to compete with Neuville and Ogier right now, and Tanak, is a massive ask. They're on another level at the moment.
That's where I was going to go next. You know, we go to Hyundai. Hyundai have had, you know, let's start. It seems odd to say this, but possibly the driver out of their four drivers that hasn't had the greatest season so far is Andreas.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And he will put his hand up and say that himself. He has struggled. He really has struggled. We saw him on the podium also in Sweden. Craig Breen was on the podium in Sweden. So was Andreas Mikkelsen. And that's been it. He's not visited the podium since. And it's been a lackluster season for him. You know, we've been waiting for the moments of brilliance. And I have to say, they did come in Italy right at the start. First morning, he was leading the rally in Sardinia. And you thought, hold on, here we go. Great stuff. Mikkelsen back on form. And then, unfortunately, technical issues on the Friday evening, and things just didn't go his way. It was game over from that sense. But I think the positive there was the pace was there. He was feeling a lot better with the car after the test. And he said that. It was like, right, okay, he's starting to feel more confident in it. And I think what we've got to remember is that, okay, last year, he spent, well, the best part of the season last year in R5 cars. Before then, he decided to flit around the service park and try out a few other World Rally cars. Citroën, of course, he was with Hyundai at the end of the year, but he hasn't had as long as the other drivers to adapt to the car. And it's a lot different from the Volkswagen. And remember, he did a lot of testing in the Volkswagen specification car, which we should have seen coming in before they pulled out. So he did a huge amount of testing with them then, and he was very much used to that. And then he got into the Citroën, you try and adapt to that, got into the Hyundai at the back end of last year. And okay, he's doing a lot of testing as well this year, but still, it takes competition to get you into the vibe. You can do as much testing as you like out there, but it's when you're in competition mode is where we're going to see you shine or not. We haven't really seen him shine. However, we did see him shine in Italy. And it might have been just for that first morning. There were still other good stage times he was punching in throughout the weekend. But he was strongest on Friday morning. More testing has been done now. They've just finished testing. I think they've been in Estonia testing in the past week. And they're happy with that as well. They're going to have a bit of a holiday now before they join us again in Finland. And again, it's one of those drivers we've been looking for to give us good results, because we know what he can do out there. And this is the frustrating thing. Andreas Mikkelsen is a rally winner. We saw the last dominant win for Volkswagen at the hands of Andreas in Australia in 2016. We know what he can do. So why isn't it happening? Is it the case that he just hasn't quite clicked with the I-20, but he has, you know, in the past couple of weeks? I don't know. Second half of the season will tell. I think he has. I think it's clicked now. And we will see Andreas come into form in second half of the season. I'm going to put €5 on it, Tony.
There you go. You do that.
€5.
The Absolute Rally Podcast. Made by us. Supported by you. Help us make more episodes. Become a patron at patreon.com/absoluterally.
Now, the supporting cast, of course, of Thierry Neuville's, you know, climb to the top of obviously the driver's standards at the moment. You know, Danny Sordo, of course, who I think many people wanted to pension off, I think, at the beginning of the year. But Danny being Danny.
Oh, what a blinder of a start to a season.
That's how you start a season as a good backup driver, surely.
Do you know what? I think it's possibly his best ever start to the season. He's been so strong. And where has it come from? And you've got to ask yourself, is he feeling that A, sense of pressure that he needs to perform, or B, pressure's off, I've only got 7 events this year, I'm just going to go out in every event and do what I can and enjoy myself and go for it? I think it's the latter. I think it's that. I think the pressure has totally been taken off him and he's gone out and he has delivered. We've seen him on the podium twice, and he's, you know, and when he hasn't been on the podium, he's been fourth.
Yeah.
And of the 4 events we've seen him on, he's been so strong and really relaxed with it, really confident. So yeah, Danny Sordo, so many people have given up on him, as you say, and thought, you know, what's he doing? Well, he's shown that he's a major point scorer for Hyundai. And
Bex, of course, sorry to interrupt, but Thierry needs somebody like that taking points off everybody else.
Yeah, that is the other role of a second driver. And, you know, we can look back in history and say that Danny has, you know, good form for this. He was Loeb's second driver for many years. He racked up numerous points for Citroën's Manufacturers' Championship title and also kept the wolves at bay from Loeb's door. So, yeah, he's got a history of this. It kind of disappeared, but it's back now in abundance with Danny Sordo. And, you know, he was there. He was in Italy. He didn't compete, obviously, at Rally Sardinia. But he was there during the weekend. I bumped into him when we were watching the final stage of the rally, the power stage. I don't commentate on that. It's John and Julian who do the live television stages. And I was over at Hyundai with a cameraman filming reaction, waiting to interview Michel Nandon. And he just breezed into the service area. And there he was waiting to watch with all the mechanics, the final stages, you know, play out. And we interviewed him and he was just over the moon with delight that it was such a fantastic battle. And of course, he wanted to be part of it as well, in the sense that he wanted to be out there competing, but he was quite happy to watch. He was doing a drive day for Hyundai the following Monday, which is why he was on the island. But it was great to see him there. You know, he's a big part of that team and he's been there. And been in this year showing that he's playing a real pivotal role for them. And, you know, more power to his elbow. Great stuff for Danny. There's lots of question marks on what he does next, because obviously he's out of contract as well as Hayden Padden come the end of the season. And what do we see these drivers doing?
We don't see them sharing a car again. We don't see them sharing a car again.
No, I don't think we will have that next year. There will be a 3-car team, but we won't see a shared car. I would be massively surprised if that happens.
Yeah. Hayden, again, Hayden's had that stop-start season. But it feels more stop-start for Hayden than what it does for Danny, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, it seems like he's been missing forever. You know, we saw him in Sweden and then, you know, he's back. He came back in Portugal to, unfortunately, quite a big accident during that event. And we were wondering whether he would be fit and healthy to be able to compete in Sardinia. He was. But then, you know, you kind of have a bit of a knock-on effect of what's happened there. And we thought, will this affect him? Will it get to him? I don't think it did. You know, he went out there, he showed us some strong times. And he finished the event, 4th position overall. So he took up good points, but we had in the same breath, did he want more for himself? I don't know. I think he really wants to continue on in the World Rally Championship. He wants a good drive next year. When you look at a driver like Danny Sordo, who's had such longevity in the championship when you think of it, I'm sure he would still want a full season drive, but there are other options for him. There's been a lot of rumours as to whether he will go to Rallycross, whether we will see him doing other things. I think there's more pressure for Hayden than there is for Danny right now, because Danny has had a huge amount of time in the World Rally Championship. Hayden hasn't had the opportunity to show us exactly what he's made of, and maybe the pressure is on for him to do that now, because his contract's up at the end of the year. Does he stay at Hyundai? Does he get snapped up by someone else? And we've got, you know, another thing to factor into the equation is so many other drivers who are coming up the ranks now as well, breaking through from WRC2. There are a lot of drivers on the market.
Yeah. We said something last week. There was a tinge of sadness, and we meant it with all due respect to Mads, that there was, you know, we'd heard reports and we'd read things about Pontus Tiedemann being released from his deal with Skoda to go to Citroen if that opportunity became available. It didn't happen. They went with Mads. They went with the safe pair of hands. I think it's with all due respect to Mads. And there was a little bit of we all understand the logic behind the management going with somebody that's known to them and everything else, rather than having a young charger in there. But there's also a little bit of a tinge of sadness of, we've got to be careful not to create this glass ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. And I mean, for Pontus, I know we're kind of deviating off route here, but it's, I feel for him, you know, WRC2 champion. He's back in the championship this year. Where is he going to go? You know, we're seeing him testing with, Volkswagen. So he's been testing the R5 with them. But he wants to be in a World Rally car. And is there going to be an opportunity for him next year? I know his management company, Even Management, are working incredibly hard to try and secure him, you know, a drive. But there are so many drivers on the market. This is the issue. So many drivers, not so many drivers on the market, so many drivers out of contract come the end of this year. So teams can have their pick, essentially, if they have enough money in the bag. You know, if for some drivers who demand a big salary, there's lots. I think, I have to be honest, I think it's going to be one of the, we call it the silly season. It could be the silliest of silly seasons this year. Could we see huge moves? Could we see, you know, new names coming in to play? Who knows? Could we see retirements?
Well, before, one driver you've been close to, we were talking about this before we even started doing the podcast. We were talking about drivers that went through the IRC system and things like that. We were talking about Thierry Neuville was one that came up. So you've known Thierry for quite some time. I'll use a little bit of an analogy here. I kind of known Elvin a little bit when he first started rallying. You were talking, of course, about Emma before and his relationship, but I remember Elvin starting in his Nissan Micra and things like that. And but so I seen him kind of grow last year, maybe even the year before, the year he won the British Championship, oddly enough, where he took people, you know, it looked like he took that backward step, and there was a bit more metal about Elvin. I felt there was there was something happened, and I, you know, he's getting older. Obviously, he's a grown man now and everything else. And you'd know this better than me about Thierry. There seems to be another level of confidence again.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I completely agree with you. You know, he keeps taking these steps in his character. And definitely, it's gone up a notch after that win in Sardinia, which was epic. Both performances from Ogier and Neuville on that final day were something truly, truly special. I think it's the most excited I've ever been as a commentator, watching them battle each other and being able to be on board with the cars through all live. And, you know, just seeing the sheer pace, the risk, the commitment that the boys were taking out there to deliver what was a thrilling day of rallying was brilliant. But for Thierry to take that win on the final stage in the fashion that he did just bumped him up just a little bit more. But it wasn't just that. It was throughout the weekend we've seen the confidence grow. And, you know, he is now, okay, he's our championship leader, but He's, I think, a bit of a scary championship leader now for Ogier, because he's gone up a notch in terms of his performance, in terms of his confidence level. He is going to be a seriously hard man to beat now throughout the rest of the season. I think Ogier is aware of that. And in the final FIA press conference, Ogier said to me, when I asked him, you know, how are you feeling about second half of the season now? You know, you're on, effectively, you're on the back foot. You are chasing. And he said, you know, I like being in that position. I like being the chaser. He said, but I like, he said, I also like a challenge. And this really is a challenge. And it sounded as if this is something Ogier can really get his teeth stuck into. He's not really been in this position before, where he's been so, not over the barrel, that's too dramatic, but you know, there's a nice points difference between them, and that's something he's not totally been faced with when it's someone at his level, and they're both at the same level right now in terms of their ability and their skill. And I think the second half of the season between the two of them is a thriller. I was massively disappointed to see Oit Tanak have problems, obviously, in Portugal, where he'd actually arrived home in Estonia before the end of the day. We were still commentating and he was watching at home, I wow. think, on the Friday of Rally Portugal. But then also in Sardinia, to not walk away with the amount of points that he wanted to, and not, you know, mathematically, it's probably still possible to win the championship if the other two didn't finish a rally for the rest of the year or whatever. I haven't looked at it points wise, so everyone with their abacuses out there can put me right. But, you know, Oit Tanak has gone up another level this year as well. And that was a big question mark, I think, for a lot of people at the start of the year. He left M Sport, a team he'd been raised with, effectively. You know, there was a really great, strong relationship with him and Malcolm Wilson. And, you know, it was a big leap of faith, wasn't it, to move out of that team and into the Toyota team. He'd only been in the championship a year. And, okay, the car was far, far better than a lot of people thought it would be. But still, you know, a risky team, let's say, to change from a manufacturer-winning team and a driver's championship-winning team to go to them was maybe a big risk. And my goodness, he took the bull by the horns, adapted to the Yaris straight away, straight out of the blocks. He was in incredible form, and he has been all season. And the win in Argentina was like something we'd never seen before. It was like Oit Tanak on steroids. It was brilliant. He yeah. was wiping the floor with everyone. Honestly, Tony, people were scratching their heads in the service park. We'd be going around interviewing the teams, interviewing the drivers, and they would literally be shaking their head at me to say, how is he setting these times? How is it possible? It was yeah. incredible. It was a tour de force from him. So I'm disappointed in the past two events that we haven't seen him nudge closer to Neuville and Ogier in that championship title battle, because I have a full feeling it's going to go down to Australia.
But of course, again, like we were talking about with Danny, he can still have a major say on where this ends up, because oh, yeah, he is absolutely. A rally winner. He is clearly yeah, he a rally is. Winner. And that's, yeah, that is going to be the interesting turn of events. Now, we've just been speaking about Seven. You've just very, very nicely took us from high end I to Ford to Toyota as well. Now, I've been massively impressed, and we've just been talking about young drivers, by two particularly young drivers this year, and yeah. one of them is Lappi, and the other one is Sunderman. I know Timo hasn't quite had the finishing effect that Lappi's had, but there's something there. I remember it's that steely finish kind of stare, and they both got it. You can just tell there's something in them.
Yeah, no, absolutely, there is. They're two very similar characters, and I've actually talked to Esa Pekka about this last year. I can't remember where we were, on which rally we were. Poland, possibly. We were chatting about Teemu, and Esa Pekka was telling me that, you know, they used to compete together in karting events. And he told me at the time that actually he used to mechanic for Sunderland.
Wow.
Was it the other way around? I can't quite remember. Anyway, Esa Pekka said to me, he said, we are of similar attitude and temperament. He said, we've been kind of not brought up together, but along the same timeline in the sense of what they've done with their careers. He said, we have the same attitude to motorsport. We have the same attitude to winning, to achieving. He said, we are very, very similar. And you can certainly see that. And, you know, for Sunenen, he hasn't had the seat time that Lappi has had. You've got to remember that Lappi has had all the testing of last year and all the events from Portugal onwards of last year. With Tamu only did Poland and Finland in a World Rally Car last year. And, you know, limited testing in a World Rally Car last year. And again, this year, he's doing, I think now in total, 8 or 9 World Rally events. But again, you know, it's the limited testing around it. But they are both impressive. Lappi is a star of the future. He's a star right now. But imagine what he's going to be like next year and the year after when he improves and improves again. He's already at a really high level in terms of what he can achieve. And the way he goes about things, his process, his learning, it's all so quick. You know, he will note very quickly what he's doing wrong and he will change it and he will perfect that change in lightning quick time. I've not experienced a driver like him yet.
There's something, there is something, it's almost like the breed in them. There's something, yeah. There's something quite kind of scary about it. And again, I can't wait to see, because I've become a little bit of a fan of Escapeca, to be honest with you.
And I think everyone has.
He's kind of opened up a little bit as well. And, you know, because I think he was quite short at times with regards to, and obviously my finish isn't great. So I can't really knock him on his grasp of English, but I don't know whether it's his grasp of English is getting better or whatever it may be, but there's definitely a cheeky man there. And I like a cheeky man. I like a cheeky man, not in that way, but I like a cheeky man. Yeah,
and I'm liking
seeing the personality come through as well. Last but not least, we need to mention Elvin. We've mentioned him a couple of times. Again, Elvin will, I'm sure, be relishing this mid-season break and hopefully hitting the reset button, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think a lot of people were shaking their heads to say, "What? Where's he gone? Where's Elvin gone? Where's the Wales Rally GB winner we saw last year? Where's he disappeared to?" Because it had been, well, it's been, you know, similar to, you know, well, Mikkelsen I described as lackluster, and it's been the same for Elvin. He's not been there in terms of what he's shown us. The capability is there. We know that. The potential is there. I think maybe a lot of people had very high expectations of what he could achieve this year, coming back into the team in, you know, effectively in the number two seat alongside Ogier. Hasn't been there. You know, we saw a good result from him in Portugal. He was on the podium there in second position, and it was like, right, hold on. You know, we're back in business here. And then it was an inauspicious, you know, Rally Sardinia for him. And it was difficult for him because, of course, with issues on the opening day, he was then first on the road for the next 2 days. So there's, you know, not a huge amount you can do from the front. But yeah, he's another one. Second half of the season, he will be looking to improve on that. And he's another driver, you know, the same as Mikkelsen. We know the potential is there. We know what they can do. We just need to see it in action. And the team need to see it, more importantly, because they want the manufacturer's championship and they cannot do it with one driver alone. And that's with Ogier. They need Evans to be, you know, the strong second. Of course, they've got Sunenen scoring as well, but they need Elvin to really step up to the mark in the second half of the season. And I'm sure he will. And it'll be, you know, what we want is for everyone, Tony, to be stepping up to the mark so we can see some brilliant battles and amazing finishes come a Sunday. That's what we want. You know, that's the ideal. Finally, Ogier, we kind of briefly touched on him earlier. You know, he had, a really brilliant start to the year. 3 wins. Took a win with Monte Carlo, Mexico. Not a lot of people might know this, actually, unless you've actually watched the television program after the event. But Seb and Malcolm had a flight pretty much immediately after the podium. So we did the FIA press conference and I knew that they had a flight to go to. This has happened before where we've had to not speed things along, but maybe not take as long over the press conference as we normally do. As soon as the press conference finished, they both legged it outside, got into some leathers, and they had hired a bike, basically. And Seb was shotgun. Oh, well, driving. And Malcolm was on the back. And with a police escort, they headed to the airport.
Wow.
But he had a brilliant start to the season. But now, you know, it's going to be a real, real fight between him and Neuville for the championship title. And that's going to thrill us, hopefully, in the second half.
I think so. Bex, thank you for reviewing the first part of the season with us, and obviously finishing our last episode for this particular season. So it's been wonderful to have you on. We've just got some little bits of admin to tidy up. Well done, Matt Edwards, for winning the BRC section of Ypres, and well done, Thierry Neuville, for winning, of course, the overall section of Ypres last weekend. It just goes to show, if you're a guest on this programme, you will probably win in Belgium, because both of them have been on the week before.
Does that mean I can enter?
That means you can enter.
In my mini club, then.
Yeah, get it done. One last thing I wanted to ask you about, front page of our press here today, Kimi back.
Yes, I know, that was a bit of a shocker to see, to be honest. Hadn't really heard anything about, to be honest, there was a rumor last year that we might see him pop up, because Toyota being Finnish based with Tommi Mäkinen running it was Tommi Mäkinen Racing that run Kimi when he was rallying, so there's, you know, there's obviously that link there. So there was chat about it last year. I hadn't heard anything about it this year. Kimi back, that would be interesting. Back and back for good, back permanently, back to actually give it a proper go this time. Did he really get his teeth stuck into it before? I don't know. I think, you know, we saw a driver who was massively determined when he came into the championship, and he gave it absolutely everything. And it would be interesting to see him come back again for another crack at it. I loved watching footage of him digging himself out at Rally Sweden. I thought that was one of the best parts to me. It was like, here we go, Formula One driver, all the glamour, all the wonder, and, you know, and here he is at the side of the road digging his car out. Brilliant. You know, he was an interesting part of the championship, definitely. And I'd love to see him. Personally, I would love to see him back. I really would.
I would love to see him back, but just to reiterate on the points we've just been making, providing it's not at the expense.
No. Hell no. No.
Yeah, exactly.
Providing it's not at the expense of another driver. Because that affects another driver's season. And as we talked about, it affects momentum. And yeah, if he comes back, you know, I thought maybe we would see him pop up at Rally Finland. Obviously not now. The entries are closed, I believe, for Rally Finland. And anyway, he's got his Formula One to do right now. But if he was going to come back, I thought maybe he would pop up at maybe some events. Or would he give it a full go, like a proper go, full championship year, and give it a real crack and see what it was like? Because it was interesting to see, you know, the improvement from him. He is an uber talented driver, obviously, but it's when you cross match these, Formula One into Rally or Rally into Formula One, they obviously completely different in nature, and whether you have the skills in one and you can't actually translate them into another, they will come surely eventually, because you are a talented motorsport person. They will come eventually. So it'll be fascinating to see if any of those rumours are true. We will follow it.
We will follow it. We'll all follow it.
Check on the case when stop something.
Yeah, do it. Stop doing roundy stuff. Folks, that is the end of this season. Thank you all so much for supporting us and the guys who've got involved via Patreon and things like that. And I say we are coming back with a new sponsor as well, which has been, I can relate fully to what Bex was saying about getting funded. Trust me, and we've managed to secure it for season 13, and I can't wait to share who it is with you.
Can I do a shameless plug then? As your season finishes, our regroup kicks in this week.
Okay.
So regroup returns as you complete.
There you go. So yeah, you can do a plug. It's fine. Folks, you know where we live. We know where Bex lives now. Of course we are. You can follow Bex, of course, on Twitter. Twitter is your handle is @BexyWexy.
Yeah, Colin made it up for me years ago, and it just, I haven't got rid of it.
No, you can't
it's
now.
It's just, you know.
You can't.
Malcolm Wilson calls me Bexy Wexy. How could I get rid of it?
You're never going to get rid of that now, are you? Of course, we are @absolute_rally, of course, on Twitter, facebook.com/absoluterally. All the old episodes, of course, you can find now at absoluterally.co.uk. We do appreciate the download, folks. We will be back in 2 weeks' time in your little podcast hole. Take care.
Get connected with Absolute Rally. Check out the website at absoluterally.co.uk. Find us on Facebook, Absolute Rally. Follow us on Twitter at @absolute_rally. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.